We have Dr. Guy Altizer here with us. Several months ago, he came and preached for us and shared a need about a church over in England. I believe it was a need on the roof, if I remember right, so on, and our church helped finance this. Brother Buddy Callahan went over to help them. So I've asked them to come, and they're going to give a report tonight about this trip that they had in England. Dr. Altizer, I'll have you come. And then he'll call on Brother Buddy to come and share a testimony. We're looking forward to hearing from you, praying for you as you share a testimony. At the conclusion, I'll come and share a few thoughts with you, okay?
Amen.
God bless you.
Lord bless you, Pastor. All right, Brother Buddy, where are you? I know you're hiding from it. Hey, you got all dressed up there, buddy, with a tie on and everything. You make your way on up here if you would. When I was here the last time, your church so wonderfully agreed to help us with the project, and Buddy came up to me out in the lobby after the service was over, and he said, hey, I do mission trips and I'd like to go with you. And I said, that'll be great. I said, as soon as we get all the details worked out, I'll let you know. And it turned out that Buddy came down, spent the night with us at our home, and we enjoyed having him. And So I wanted Buddy just to give you a short testimony about what the trip was like and what a blessing it was for him. You can come ahead.
Thank you all. kind of nervous. Never spoke in front of this big a crowd before, but I did one time in Pennsylvania, but I needed a translator when I spoke in Pennsylvania. But it's such a privilege and an honor to be able to represent our church, and I'm just so thankful to Brother Jody and for supporting me to help me go, and Brother Altizer for letting me go, and just want to thank God for using me in a way that He did. You know, God don't need us to do anything. He, you know, it shouldn't amaze us really the things that He does, because He spoke the world into existence. But Brother Altizer gave a message while we were over there about motives, why we do what we do, you know, the mission work. And I do listen to your messages, Brother Jody, because when I got back, he preached, and I remember the message because I was the only one here, I think. But he preached the message on missions, and he said that if we did what we did just for the recognition of men and to get her name in the bulletin, that it was covetousness. And so then first thing this morning, Brother Altizer got up and said that, you know, we're going to glorify God and going to feature Buddy Callahan. I said, man, don't do me like that. After Brother Jody's already, he's already beat me up when I got back, you know. But anyway, and then I said, even this morning, it's amazing God's timing, how that it worked out that Brother Jody's preaching on covetousness today in the message. So, you know, but it shouldn't amaze us. It shouldn't be amazing how that God works, especially in timings of messages, and especially when it concerns His word that Brother Jody's preaching. But I just want to thank God for the verification that we're in the right place when when God uses us. And, you know, we wonder sometimes, was I supposed to come? You know, should I have prayed before I come? But the first thing, we were in front of the chapel and we were getting set up to work. Some guy, of course he had the British accent, but some guy looked over the fence. He said, don't I recognize you? You know, haven't I seen you somewhere? You know, and I said, well, not unless you've been to Tennessee. You know, but anyway, I got to talking to him. He was working on a car in front of the chapel, and I got to speaking with him, and he had lived there for quite a while. His children had went to the Baptist church there that we were working on. But I went out and helped him work on his, not didn't help him, but I talked to him. He was working on his car right in front of the church, but he lived across the street, and kind of like some apartments, but I kind of looked. There's four or five old cars sitting around in front of that building, in front of his apartment, you know, and I thought, man, and this guy's about my age, you know, and I thought, man, he must be a Callahan, you know, he got all these junk cars sitting around, you know. But, you know, it shouldn't be amazing that God puts you in a position to witness to somebody like this guy. We had, you know, I already had something in common. He's kind of about my age, and like I say, he thought he recognized me, you know, so that opened the door for me to speak to him. And, of course, I shared the gospel with him and talked to him, and ended up, he didn't have a Bible in his house. Me and Brother Altizer, we made up a pact to try to give. That church we were working on probably had 300 or 400 Bibles sitting around the shelves, but we were going to try to give all the Bibles away before we left, but we didn't. We gave some away. We didn't get a big opportunity to get out. But they said we couldn't get out and hand them out down because of all the Muslims that were around on the streets. But we asked before we gave them if it would offend them if we gave them one. So we did share some gospel and some tracts. And also at the building supply, there was a guy. We had to walk to the building supply and then push the material back on the cart because we didn't have a way to haul it. But we had went down the street, I don't know, 4 or 5 blocks. But I had some gospel tracts and was leaving the building supply, and I gave the guy at the door a tract. He said, "Didn't I see you on TV last night?" You know, and so them guys said that was probably Cy off Duck Dynasty that he saw. But, you know, praise the Lord. You know, if God can use it, you know, if he can use it that way, then praise the Lord, you know. But and if it's okay, I'd like to share one more testimony about that situation, how God puts you in that. It's more of a serious situation, but I was on a mission trip, and during the week I had seen this lady beside the chapel. All week I'd been kind of watching her, and she'd go back and feed the chickens and kind of hang around. And on Friday we kind of had a little break. Somebody had went and got ice cream, you know, for the team. And so I wanted to take the lady an ice cream around. Had to go out to the road and around. Didn't have a translator with me. But I gave the lady went to the gate and knocked on the gate. She thought I was wanting money for the ice cream, but I gave it to her. And so I went back around and was peeping through the gate and watched her. And she sat on her porch, ate that ice cream, you know, and she was really enjoying it. It was an older lady. And when the translators came back, I took him over to share the gospel with her and to invite her over to the dedication service of the church that we were doing. And when we went over, she pulled the ice cream stick and paper out of her blouse. That was the first ice cream she'd ever had. And so we got to sharing with her, and she kept trying to keep her scarf pulled down. There was a bad scar on her eye. And so she started sharing with the translator and me about she had had a tumor, and it had blinded her in her right eye. And she had a real bad scar, and she was trying to cover that scar up. She kind of ashamed of the scar. So I had the translator. Of course, I don't know how many of you guys really know me, but I lost my eye when I was 18. And so I started sharing with this lady that I had lost my eye. And I showed her that I had artificial eye. And here, this lady started crying over me. And of course, then she's crying over me, and I was crying over her, you know. And so, but you know, it just shows you, you know, when I was 18 years old, God knew that when that happened to me, he knew that in 2004 that I would be witnessing to a lady in Romania. He knew that. So he took something bad that had happened to me and used it for his glory. You know, it's never been a hindrance to me, really. I mean, you know, it's just, you know, the loss of my eye. But, you know, so when that happened, I just praised God. You know, I mean, you know, it was worth it. You know, she didn't receive Christ. She didn't pray to receive Christ, but we shared the gospel. We planted the seed. She lived next to the water hole. You know, she lived right beside the church, the Baptist church that we built. So, you know, I just assume one of these days that lady accepted Christ, or she did, and I'll see her in heaven one of these days. But I just want to thank God for how he does use us and how he confirms things in her life that we are in the right place where we need to be. Thank you.
Amen. Lord bless you, buddy. Thank you. Let's give Buddy a big hand. He did a great job, and I really appreciate him going. I was telling him this morning, to be real honest about it, as you're going to see in the slides in just a minute, when he said the thing that I'm that I do well is concrete, and I began to think through the job that we're fixing to go do, and I couldn't picture any concrete work. But I said, well, can you do other kind of carpet? I can do anything. I said, well, good, you need to come. As it turned out, you're going to see in just a minute, one of the major tasks that we had involved concrete. And I told him this morning just a bit of testimony about how the Lord works. And then I'll get to the pictures. I don't want to steal all of Pastor's time, but I've been working for a number of years. I really don't know when I started. For a missionary in Romania, that they bought a piece of land and it had a house on it, and they remodeled the house to make it a church. And Cookie and I have been there and visited with them, and I've preached in that church. Well, he notified me some time ago that they were going to need to expand the building, and the initial phase of the expansion was going to cost $5,000. So he said, we need to pray for the money, and we need to pray for the permits. Well, earlier this week, I got a call from a friend of mine, and he said, you need to call this pastor in Pennsylvania. He said, I was just with him last weekend, and he was telling me a story that I think you'll be interested in. It seems that 10 years ago, a man gave a $5,000 gift to the church to be used in Lithuania. Now, for whatever reason, the church had never acted on it, and nowadays it's hard to do anything in Lithuania because they've driven most of the missionaries out. But they called the donor, and they explained the situation to him, and he said, well, I'll tell you what, if you can't use it in Lithuania, try to find something you could do in Romania. And the pastor said, I need to find somebody that's got a project in Romania. So my buddy said, you need to call him, and I called him, and he said, guy, here's what I need. I need to know, have you been there? I said, yes, I have. I've preached in the church. He said, do you know the missionary? I said, I do know the missionary. He said, well, you notify the missionary that I will send $5,400 to his mission board within the next 10 days. And I emailed the pastor to tell him, hey, I got the money. Let us know when we can come. And he wrote back. Now, listen to this. He wrote back and he said, well, a lot of the work is going to involve concrete and the foundation. In my mind, the little antenna went up and said, Buddy Callahan's on the road again. But pray about that. The Lord, if he can get the permits, we may go in August to visit this missionary and try to get the work for the church underway. So praise the Lord. He puts all of it together and the timing just right. If you would, turn in your Bibles tonight to just a verse. All I want you to look at is Philippians chapter 4, verse 18. I'm not sure, I may have used this verse the last time I was here, but I want to introduce these pictures tonight. It's a PowerPoint presentation. With this verse, notice what it says in the first part of the verse. I have all, I am full. Well, let me back up. But I have all and abound. I am full. Now, I think I mentioned when I was here before that there's only been one time I ever heard that from a missionary. I've never met another missionary that could say that. One elderly lady said she served in Ireland for 40 years and she never had a time when she didn't have all abound and was full. Everybody else has got a need. And it says, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. And I would like to point out to you that Buddy Callahan and the other two guys and myself, we were the Epaphroditus going to visit the pastor in England to bring what had been sent from you. Your church gave $6,300 toward the project and then paid for Buddy's ticket $1,000. And I want to say thank you for that. And I notified Pastor. I said, Pastor, I want to come and tell the folks what a special, special thing it was for all of you. And at this time, I want the guys to turn the screen on. And I'm not real good at this kind of stuff, but there we go. And let me get down here out of the way because I have a microphone on. And that way I won't be in anybody's way. As you know, Cookie and I are Windows of Heaven. When I retired from the church in 2002, I organized Windows of Heaven January 1st, 2003, and God has blessed in a wonderful way. We have been literally all over the world. I counted it up not long ago, and God has enabled us to work and minister in 35 different countries of the world and many of the states of the United States. We left with a four-person team on January 31st. Our project was to repair and renovate Grace Baptist Church in Slough. The major work that was going to be accomplished was the renovation of the auditorium. At that time, the weather was so bad they couldn't get the roof repaired, so we were not able to do the interior repairs. They have now since been done, and so we worked quite a bit on the auditorium. There's the four-person team. You will notice right there is Brother Buddy Callahan. These two guys were from church in Greenville, and then yours truly was going with them. We're at the gate going to London Heathrow. We were going to work for a week at Grace Baptist Church in Slough, England. Slough is 30 minutes west of London by train. It's a fairly large city, and it's probably 90 to 95% Muslim and Hindu. This church property is very valuable because it's deeded for worship. And what the Muslims are doing is buying up worship centers all over the country and turning them into Muslim mosques. So they would love to get a hold of this church property. This is the pastor, Pastor Thomas, and his wife, Asia. Pastor Thomas is from Sierra Leone in West Africa. Asia is from Pakistan. Both of them are British citizens. And these are the two deacons and their wives. He's from China. He's from Sri Lanka. This little lady right here, Cookie taught her in Sunday school when she was that size. So they go way back in the church. These are two very godly men helping pastor there with the work. Just a bit of review. The first problem that we dealt with was the water line in the parking lot broke, and the parking lot was actually unusable. They were meeting in pastor's house, and God helped us raise the money and repair the water line. You can see the repair line here, and the parking lot is now dry, so it can be used totally. Here's where Brother Buddy came in. When we got there, we found out that when they set the windows in the building, back in the days that they built the building, they put a 2x4 underneath there to hold the window up, and all of those 2x4s, well, six or seven of the eight windows that are in the auditorium, you could just punch your finger through anywhere you wanted. It was totally rotten. And so Buddy went to work tearing it out. There we go. Mixing the concrete, started to form them up. He formed them up the inside so it looked like it was dressed up. On the outside, he dressed that up, and he worked on these windows. There's one roughed in. There's another one roughed in. And here's a finished product. He formed the window, the seal shaped it, and then when it dried, he painted it, and it looks like it was always there. Brother Buddy did a great job on that. There was one of the windows in the fellowship hall that had the same problem, and you'll see that he tore that all out and put the same underpinning other. This is a little funny story right here. We had to remove a radiator, and the water lines were going underneath the flooring to the radiator. So we uncovered all of that, and we said, man, we're going to have to get this water shut off around here. And I'll never forget the day that the guys were all standing around talking about this, and Brother Buddy said, you don't have to shut the water off, just mash it. And we looked at him and said, what do you mean, mash it? He said, take a hammer, put on one side, take a hammer and hit it on the other side, put the two pieces of copper together, and it won't leak. And that's what we did, and they finally got the caps and cut it off. So Brother Buddy was right, just mash it, it'll work. Buddy did all kinds of things. You see this old piece of an organ that was left. It had been there for years. I've been to England a number of times, and I remember on previous trips, I asked the pastor, what's the status of that organ out in the front yard? Don't you think it's about time we move that thing? Well, yeah, we need to get to it. You know how that goes. Well, Buddy and I decided it was time for it to leave. So Buddy picks up the whole mechanism around the building, you go, puts it on the dumpster, and the truck hauls it away, and boy, it looks good out in the parking lot. Here's Buddy, and this is the guy across the street right there that Buddy's witnessing to, and we gave him a Bible and tracts, and there's a number of other folks that we were able to witness to and give Bibles and tracts. One of the major renovation jobs was, you notice in the back of the auditorium, they had this wall built across. If you went through either of those doors, right behind this wall here was the outside door. So there was a little foyer, a little vestibule in there, and they needed the space to put more chairs. And so we went to work tearing it out. To show you how old the building is, look at the nails that were in that thing. But anyway, the guys had a great relationship together and worked hard together. Here we are getting the thing torn completely out. They're beginning to put the flooring back in. You'll notice that Buddy has a supervisor role now. He's worked himself up to a position of a supervisor now. And there he is helping out and doing a little painting. And here's the finished product. We made a little foyer, put in the double doors, and now they have plenty of room on this side and on this side in order to put chairs and equipment. You'll see that in just a minute. Here's what it looks like now. You notice they have chairs in the back. This is a sound booth in the back, and that's the door finished with a clock over top. That was a great blessing to the folks and made more space for folks that would come. Brother Buddy found his buddy out there, and he was kind of sharing with us through the whatever you call puppet. That's it. I couldn't figure out what it was. That's Brother Buddy's puppet. He found that in the kids' storage, and he was having fun that day. This is another funny one here. The doors were rotting off of the frame, and they needed fixing badly. You could see it. And we said, well, Brother Buddy, I don't know that we have the money or the time to get involved in doing that kind of work. I said, is there anything you can do? And Buddy said, yeah, you can just push it back in. I said, push it in. And we left it alone. We did do a little sightseeing. They weren't impressed much with the Queen's Palace there. That's Windsor, which is right next door to where we were. That's the former Queen of England standing on the statue there. She's kind of cold. It's a wet, cold day. And Buddy and them, they thought that was something to see, but just for a picture, and then we'd be gone. Buddy did attempt to help this building. You notice it's slanting to the left, and he felt like if he didn't lend a hand that they might lose a building, you know, so he got into that. Back to church. This is the front of the auditorium. You'll notice that they have the altar and a place to preach and a doorway that goes into an office and a doorway that goes into a fellowship hall. One of the things that Pastor wanted was to expand the stage. And this is the way it was. You'll notice that they had a little bit of a platform here, but that thing is bolted down so it doesn't move. And actually underneath it is the baptistry. You'll see the handles are on there, and when they would do the baptism, they would move the whole thing to the side and have the baptism and then move it back. And the pastor wanted to modify that, so they began to look into how they were going to do the job, and the three of them got their heads together and started figuring out a way that they could put it in. Brother Buddy was the guy that designed suggested this whole trapdoor situation with the baptistry, and you notice now that it's all finished. This is one of our workers down in the baptistry, and we took a picture of him, and here's what the platform looks like now. They have plenty of space for the children's programs. They actually built these two side wings, which can be put in place when they have a Christmas program or something of that nature. The guys took the framing from all of that mechanism that was on there and cut it down and made it into a real nice pulpit, and Pastor is really happy. Here's those two side wings. They fixed it so they could be stored in the corners. This is one on one side and one on the other side. There was some outside work to be done, and I got my shears and got out there and trimmed the roses back. This bush was actually about 4 feet above the fence and down this way, and actually blocked the whole view when you're coming down the street of the church. This area right here is where the organ was stored, if you want to use that word. And so we moved the organ out of the way, trimmed the bushes back, and it looked a lot better outside. This gives you a little overview of the roof problem. There's temporary repair, let me back up one. This is the roof that has been repaired now. You notice it's got the good sheeting on it. Let me back up here one more. Good sheeting on it, and it's dry now, and they're still working on the skylights. Exactly what they're going to do with those, I'm not sure at this point. But the church family was very excited. This was Friday night before we left on Saturday, and the whole church family came and provided a great big meal, and then we just had a great big time celebrating with the folks. They brought in a lot of good food. All week long, we had more to eat than we should have been eating. Nice salad. This you'd love at your next potluck lunch. This is oxtail curry. They had the rice and they had the oxtail curry. It was actually pretty good. There's not much meat on the oxtail, you know me. They made a cake for all of us to tell us how much they loved us. The Lord blessed in a wonderful way. I want to praise the Lord tonight for these thoughts. He provided the funds to do the work. The job was totally paid for. The four airline tickets for all of us to travel to England was all provided for. Most of our goals we met for the missionaries there. And God was glorified about the work that was accomplished. And so we want to praise the Lord for that. All missionary presentations have to have a sunset. So as the sun sets on somewhere, it reminds us that there's still a job to do, right? That's it. I want to say just one more thing, and then Pastor, you're on. Thank you so much. The total project over time was $20-some thousand, of which you know you provided about a third of that. And it's through your faithful giving and your pastor's leadership that we had the funds that we needed. And just praise the Lord for all that he's done. It has been a wonderful thing. And I want to tell you this one more thing. I have gone to England, as I mentioned, on a number of occasions because my friend was the missionary there. Every time I would go, the church would be introduced to Cookie and me that we were the missionary's friend. We had come to check on the missionary and our friend. And Pastor Thomas said this. He said, our church family and I want to thank you for coming because you came for us. You didn't come for Brother Bob. You came for our need. And I want to praise the Lord for the opportunity we had to minister, and you had a big part in it. Thank you so much. Pastor. I'll get my Bible out of your way, preacher. Thank you. Lord bless you.
Well, that was good tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. Brother Buddy, I'm telling you, I'm going to keep my eye on you from now on. You know what I mean? You didn't bring that puppet home with you, did you? You're not answering, so that I'm not sure that's good or bad. You know what I was thinking? I bet this church would love to see a trap door underneath your pastor with a baptistry under it, wouldn't you? Have y'all thinking about that? Would you be honest? I mean, you thought about that. What? Oh, a dunking booth. Yes. This is hurriedly getting out of hand here, you know. But I appreciate you precious people being willing to give and give faithfully. And I want you to know, as your pastor, I'm honored, honored, honored to be the pastor of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And I realize that I don't pastor a building. I pastor a great people, and that is you. And I want you to know that the reason we're able to give to things like this is because of your faithful giving to the Lord Jesus Christ. What a day it's going to be when we get to heaven and see these precious people. Have a great reunion someday. I think about these dear pastors around the world. I tell you, if you want to get a burden for missions, just take a mission trip and get around some of these national pastors and watch how they sacrifice, they love God, they love their people. And I tell you, the Lord has blessed this church in a great way. And I appreciate you being willing to follow my leadership, follow the deacon's leadership as we make decisions. And we're honored to be able to help with trips like this. We're honored to be able to put some money on your plane ticket to help you get there and so on. Looks like you represented us well, except for when you were doing the supervising thing there and so on. I'm just kidding. And I appreciate you. Yeah, that's good. That's good. Yes. I appreciate your burden for souls. Appreciate your burden to do something for God. And when we have concrete problems around here, I think we know who to call now. You know what I mean? Appreciate those who have worked so faithfully here. I feel led tonight just to have a prayer meeting, just to pray and ask God to help this church to be all that he wants it to be. I'm praying right now, I'm not literally right now, I'm just saying on my prayer list, I'm praying, Lord, help me finish the work that you have given me to do. My life verse is John 17:4. It's the Lord's Prayer, where he said, I've glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. It is my desire to finish the work God has given me to do. And it's my desire for this church to finish the work that God has given us to do. And I'm praying, I'm trying to on a daily basis. In the book of Isaiah, the Bible says, this is the way, walk ye in it. I've added that to my prayer list and asking the Lord, say, Lord, show us the way and help us to walk in it. That applies not only to our personal lives, but to the life of missions around the world. We're praying right now about how the Lord would have us to do some things around the world. It's exciting to be able to take even finances and be able to help plant churches worldwide. That's what it's all about. Our burden is planting local New Testament independent Baptist churches and asking God to use them in a great way. So I encourage you to get involved in Faith Promise Missions. If you're involved, increase. If you're not involved, get involved and ask God to help us to do more for the glory of Jesus Christ. I want to ask Miss Ball, if you wouldn't mind just to come to the piano. I just want you just to begin to play through something like Have Thine Own Way, Lord, Have Thine Own Way, just something that you're comfortable playing there. And I'd like to ask our deacons, if you're here tonight, the deacons and your wives, I'd like to ask our pastoral staff and your wives and the leadership of this church and anybody else who would want to do this. Nobody has to do this, but I am asking our deacons and pastoral staff to do this. Let's gather around the altar together, and let's just get on our faces, get on our knees, and let's conclude this Sunday night service by thanking God for His goodness, thanking God for His blessing upon Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And I want to say something to you, friends. God's been good to this church. We're not the only church by any stretch of the imagination. There are other good churches in this area. But I know how God's working on my heart. And I want to finish what He's given me to do. And I crave your prayers. You know, the Lord's been working on me lately, if you will, about the great responsibility that I have. And I want you to know, as your pastor, that I understand what a great responsibility this is. And I want you to know, as your pastor, that I stand in need of Jesus Christ. I cannot do this on my own. I don't know what I'm doing. Doesn't that make you feel good about your pastor? I don't know what I'm doing. You know, I shared that with Dr. David Gibbs when he was here. I said, Dr. Gibbs, I don't know what I'm doing. And he said this. He said, never change that. Never change that. He told a story, and I wasn't planning on taking too long here, but nobody tells a story like Dr. David Gibbs. What a man of God. He told a story in a meeting that I was in with him where I preached later on. I heard him preach, and I preached in that same meeting in the morning service. He told a story of a church that had a church camp, or I may have some of these details off, but anyway, this particular church camp that they were flying children to, it was over the water. In other words, you had to fly the kids to get there. So they had this little plane where they'd only take like three or four at a time, and the pilot knew what he was doing. And he would fly kids over, and he had already made several trips that day, if I remember the story right. But he said, you know, a pilot is trained that every time he lands, he's supposed to do a check. He's supposed to check, make sure he's got enough gas, make sure everything's going right. And if my memory serves me correct here, it was the last trip of the day. Somebody had entrusted their children to this pilot. And he was halfway over, and he said this particular trip, you can imagine him telling this story, but he said this particular trip, the waters down below were just torrential. I mean, just terrible. If you go down in it, it's basically over with. And he said he got about halfway over, and he didn't realize he was running out of gas. And he realized that he was going to crash. He told the story about those kids on board. That pilot came over the headset, and he was talking with the people on the ground, and he said, I thought I knew what I was doing. I've made a grave mistake. He said, I want to keep these headphones on just in case, by a miracle, somebody survives what's getting ready to happen. And he said, the man took the headphones off and laid them down, but you could still hear him talking. He turned to the kids, and he said, kids, I'm so sorry. I thought I knew what I was doing. He said, we're going to run out of gas, and we're going to go down. He said, I want you to take your little pillows or backpacks, whatever they had, and he said, I want you to put them over your face. they're listening to this on the ground. And he said, not long after that, there was a horrible sound come across those headphones. They crashed and there were no survivors. That's the meeting that God showed me. Jody, you don't know what you're doing. And what I'm trying to fly is even more important than what that man was flying that day. If they got to the destination, they'd have a week of camp. Dr. Gibbs looked at us preachers and he said this. I'm paraphrasing. He said, men, there are people who are trusting their spiritual lives to you. You're flying the plane. And they trust you to get them from this point to that point. And it's time you realize you don't know what you're doing. How God has challenged me with that story. God knows my heart. I want to get this plane to the destination safe and sound. I'm not talking about heaven. I'm talking about the will of God. But if it ever gets there, it'll be because I don't trust myself. It'll be because I look to God and say, God, I can't, but you can. I want to pray, God, show us the way and help us walk in it. Show us what to do and help us to do it. I want to plant churches. I want to see people saved. I want to see more missionaries on the field. I want to finish the work God's given us to do. But God must show us what it is. God must show us what it is. And I want God to show me this is it. Walk that way. Take that step. Go this direction. That is my desire. I pray for that. I beg God for that. Will I make mistakes? Absolutely. But God knows our heart. And I want to pray tonight, God, show us the way. He showed us the way in this. He allowed this church to heavily finance this. And now there's a church, God willing, that the Muslims will not get a hold of there in England. That's what God does. I want to ask you a question. How bad do you want it? How bad do you want it? When I say the deacons and their wives, I'm talking to the new deacons that we're getting ready to bring on next Sunday night. This includes you. I want you to bring your wife. And let's all gather together. Shall we do that? Come on now, friends. Deacons and wives, pastoral staff and wives, anybody else who feels led to come to the altar tonight, you come on. Come on now. Come on now. Let's pray on our face. Get on our knees. Ask God Almighty to show us the way. You say, Lord, help us know the way. Show us where to support. Show us what missionaries to support. Show us what ministries to get involved in. Show us what ministries to start, what ministries to stop. Show us all of these things. And if you're there sitting now and you say, I don't know what to pray for, here's what I want you to pray for. Look right up here at me, please. Pray for your pastor that God will keep sin out of my life and that there's nothing hindering me from knowing the will of God. I want you to see my heart tonight. I want to do God's will. I want this church to do God's will. I want you to do God's will. We're going to pray and ask God to help us. Amen tonight, friends. Let's pray. Let's beg God. Let's ask the Lord to help us. I'm going to ask, and I know He doesn't mind to do this. I call on Him all the time. I'm going to ask our pastor emeritus. I'm going to ask Preacher Lashley. Preacher, I'll give you a microphone here, and I want you to get a hold of God tonight. For this church, for this pastor, that God will show us what to do. And as we pray, I want you to pray. And I like you just playing through. Just keep playing. I like it. I like it. I like it. He's taking the lapel mic that Dr. Altizer had. Let's pray together. This will be our closing prayer tonight. Let's pray together, shall we?
Thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Our Heavenly Father, we come unto thee tonight, the source of all of our strength and our help. Our help cometh from above, the God who made heaven and earth. And Lord, thank you for what you've done in the past at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And Lord, we thank you by faith of what you're going to do in the future. But Lord, we need your help. We need your direction. Lord, we need people to be filled with the Holy Ghost and living separated godly lives, spending time in prayer and seeking the face of God. Lord, help us to be men and women, boys and girls of prayer, sold out to the Lord. Lord, thank you for Brother Jody. He desires the plan of God and the will of God for this church. And Lord, would you show it, reveal to him, Lord, by your Spirit, through the Word of God, reveal the way, and Lord, help him to walk therein and lead this church in spiritual victories. Lord, as long as you let him stay here in this church, I pray that he'd be equipped by the Holy Spirit. God, we're looking to thee. In the flesh, there's no good thing. Lord, would you breathe upon us? Fill us with your Spirit, cleanse us, and give us a mind to please you and serve you and do the will of God till you call us home. Bless everything that goes on in this church. Thank you for all, every program. Would you breathe upon it now? Thank you for Brother Guy and continue to bless him. And Lord, help us tonight. We look to thee for help. Oh, God, we'll fail unless we get divine leadership and divine power. So breathe upon us and help us, we pray, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Have faith in God. He's on his throne. Have faith in God. He watches o'er his own. He cannot fail. He must prevail. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Dr. and Mrs. Altizer, if you'll make your way out to the lobby. Brother Buddy Callahan, if you'll make your way out to the lobby. I want our folks, if you don't know this dear man, I want you to get to know him a little bit, all right? And please, cancer ministry folks, remember the meeting tonight. Matter of fact, let me go ahead and dismiss you folks now. Everybody going to the cancer meeting, you are dismissed first. Then we will be dismissed right on your heels, okay? If you do have a visitor's card, please take it out to the Welcome Center and drop it off there. We have somebody there to give you a special gift, all right? Thank you, folks, for being here. God bless you. You're dismissed. Yes,